obviously we haven't got time for every panelist to answer each one of your questions, so what I'm going to try and do is...
Robbie, can I just make one point before we go for very, very briefly? John McAllister mentioned about Liam Gilmore coming to Sam Path in Belfast. I want to put on the record, because I think it's important that people know, that was actually a proposal put forward jointly by the SDLP and the DUP in the City Hall, that an invite would be extended to a representative of the Irish government to take part in the commemorations at the Cenotaph. It was put forward jointly by Pat McCarthy, a constituency colleague of myself, and I seconded that.
Okay.
That proposal was opposed by Sinn Féin.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, back to that possibility. So please either direct your question to one person specifically, or if you don't, I will then pick one of the people from the panel to answer, and I might choose to group a few questions just to allow more people to speak. I'll ask you also to say who you are. You don't need to give an affiliation. If you have an affiliation, just say what it is. I've got two hands immediately, so I'm going to take Anne Carr first, and then you, sir.
Yes,
ma'am. We're
moving
right. Just 1 second, Anne.
My name's Anne Carr, and I've been
involved
in the working through our difficulty issues here for many, many, many years, and specifically over many years with women. I have one question to all of the politicians, and it relates to the civic forum, which was not a should, might, maybe in our agreement. It was a will happen in our agreement. Now, the first effort at setting up a civic forum was not robust, was not well-funded, was not well thought through, and certainly wasn't a process that was ever going to go anywhere. And once it was suspended, it never came back again. We need to hear one another's bottom lines on difficult issues, because we're a society moving out of...
Sorry, I'm making a statement. You're saying you want this to know about the petition of the Civic Forum.
Hold on, I just want to explain why it's important.
No, sorry, we haven't got time.
Well, for 1 second, the Civic Forum... No, just to say that it should be there, and it was to be the place where the consultation happened so that politicians could listen to the people.
Okay, thanks, Sam. Sorry to cut you off. Very good for that.
Feels a bit like an AA meeting. I'm a protester. I'm quite proud of the fact. My question is to the Sinn Féin delegate, surprisingly. You talked earlier about equality, and I put this same question to Jerry Kelly recently in the Rowan Show. Could you explain your position on the naming of a children's park in the Newry and Mourne after an IRA terrorist, given that you were given advice by the Equality Commission not to do so? And also, what message does that send out to the children of the country? If we're talking about the future, what message does that send to children that are playing in that Harry Park?
Okay, Gerard, I'll see you answer that one in a second anymore, just in this first round. Gentleman over there, please, thank you.
How you doing? My name's Chris Allen. Ready for Slugger O'Toole, former Sinn Féin election candidate many years ago. It was unsuccessful. The point I wanted to make was that the resolving the flags and emblems is ultimately going to have to involve legitimising for the first time a final place for the Irish national flag in Northern Ireland, and rectifying a grave mistake made 90 years ago when the state effectively denied the All-Ireland status of Northern Nationals. For 90 years, we've had problems around the Flags and Emblems Act, the Dyna Street riots, even during the Troubles when RUC men would have ripped tricolours off the coffins of IRA volunteers. So the problem is that, you know, if we are to free ourselves of the historical, ideological tendency to define the other on our own terms, and have the type of politics that Claire talked about, and the type of politics Stephen talked about, and Chris Little as well, we're not going to get around talking about housing and these other issues unless we resolve identity by accepting each the other as we define ourselves.
Okay.
So one thing about, you know, and this needs to be nailed in one sense, designated D's is that, and this is one of the reasons we have this playing out in the streets, unionism has lost the ability to dictate the terms of the discussion. We're not going to see designated D's in Derry. We're not going to see designated D's in Down or Newry and Mourne. They're majority nationalists. If you're going to get designated days there, you're going to have to negotiate them with nationalists. And as Jared has alluded to, NASA has accommodated this with their own list of demands.
Okay, thanks. And just one more over here before I go back to the panel.
Hi there. My name is Terry Medill. I come from East Belfast. Initially, I was absolutely appalled by what was happening in East Belfast. But as time went on, I'm proud to be from East Belfast around. But I think the majority of all those politicians on that table, and it's hardly long enough to get these all there, you have failed. My daughter was born in the year of peace. Progress that I had to get her to sit, a Protestant 11 plus and a Catholic 11 plus. Is that progress? My grandson is due to sit the 11 plus in 2017. We just have fixed it by then. It's a wake-up call for a lot of people what has happened here. You better sort this place out, and there's going to be a lot more of it, so there is. We need jobs, bread and butter, and many people in this room would come back in a month's time if it was a debate on youth unemployment. Would you?
Yes.
I'd book the room.
Thanks, Simon. Okay, I'm going to start, first of all, by going back to Jared, because there was a specific question for him, which was about the issue of Miriam Warren. Now, you may not be responsible for that, Jared, but just briefly, it'd be a good answer, because you weren't asked about it.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I said earlier. Part of where I grew up, there are streets named after battles where the British armed forces have been victorious in various parts of the world. And those titles and street names were imposed upon us in some of the areas where I grew up. But it's quite a history, and it happened, and I acknowledge that it's happened. I don't believe in acknowledging imperialistic victories, but there are parts of Unionist and British history that are recognised and identified with in the city that I didn't have a problem with at all, I didn't have an issue with. And what I would say to you is that for many nationalists and Republicans, the person you speak of was a hero, was a local hero, was a freedom fighter. Someone who went and gave up his life for the freedom and liberation of his people. And I know that is very, very difficult for members of the Unionist community to appreciate, understand. But I would ask you to consider that recognizing a person who, in the view of many Republicans and nationalists, give their all for them, I would ask you to appreciate from a Unionist British point of view, which you do, that when you acknowledge someone from that background, that it's for many people, it's the same thing.
Jared, could you tell me what aspects of British culture you support and not?
We're going to come on to that opportunity in a second. I'm going to ensure this that the participants in the floor here are able to say how the agenda develops. Now, there's two interrelated questions you're going to ask, one by Anne and one by Terry, which essentially are Anne's question about the civic forum and Terry's question about political failure. And so we might need those two and say maybe we need to the civic forum part because politics hasn't delivered what it should have done. Anybody wants to say why they think politics hasn't failed? And only anyone want to say why they think the civic forum is something that is worth re-looking at? I see Stephen first of all. Stephen,
okay. Thank you, Rob. The question of civic forum, I think the term has now become, because as Anne said herself, it previously didn't work, but the principle was right, perhaps the mechanisms were wrong. So I think calling it civic forum has become unhelpful because it allows those who don't want to go down that road to use an excuse to attack it. I talk about a civic conversation, which isn't a great departure, but I'm currently engaged in the Irish Constitutional Convention, and I'm conscious in this debate, referencing something they're doing that Ireland isn't necessarily helpful. But there you've got a third of politicians, two third of citizen members discussing how the Irish constitution shouldn't could be changed. And I think we need to have something, as I kind of mentioned in my opening, around the Good Friday Agreement and around how, you know, because we're talking about setting up an opposition, completely changing the structure, reducing the number of seats, etc. I'll be in front of the Northern Ireland Select Affairs Committee addressing these issues, and that's great. Politicians that are talking about it's great. People can view it and have their opinion, but we need to actually start engaging the civil society, with the ordinary citizens, and bring them in. And I think the Irish model is an interesting one. I think they took it from Canada, so maybe refer to a Canadian model, and it might receive a bit more support. But we need to do that. We need to bring communities with us. And if we need to talk about flags, let's talk about flags. I don't think it should be the only issue on the table, but it perhaps needs to be one issue. But if I can quickly talk about the point that was made about the Protestant and Catholic 11 plus, essentially. I mean, this has been one of the failures of both Good Friday Agreement, that we haven't addressed segregation in our education system, that we continue to educate our children separately. And indeed, the new ESA bill, the education bill, it essentially puts on the ESA board the Protestant bloc and the Catholic bloc, and they'll decide where new integrated schools will be built. Well, that's great. You know, we don't even have the integrated sector represented on the new education skills authority. So I don't think we've done enough politically to change the nature of this society.
Okay, Sarah, so just hold it there. Hesitation will be the next person comes in.
The Good Friday Agreement is involving the community in the peace process at the very heart of the agreement. The Alliance Party recently made a constructive proposal to OFM DFM that a shared future reference group should involve civic society representatives with a wealth of experience on dealing with shared education, mixed housing, parades, etc. As usual, it was misrepresented by the DUP on the floor of the Assembly as yet another all party group. False again, but I'm getting used to that. The dealing with the real issues, youth employment, I think John McAllister asked a good question of John Kyle. If we keep telling people that we're not dealing with these issues, then that's what they're going to think. John sits on me on an advisory panel in the heart of Inner East Belfast on a mental health charity. He hasn't mentioned that once in any of the comments that he's made in all of these weeks and months. The Minister for Employment worked with me and DUP representatives together to launch a rapid impact employment scheme in South and East Belfast in recent weeks and months. He's delivered a multi-million pound youth employment scheme, albeit that these issues have stacked up over many months and years, and we're in the heat of a serious issue in relation to it. It's going to take time to deal with those. But we're selling our young people and people in those communities that need this assistance well short by glossing over the fact that there is work and there are opportunities there available for people to get involved with.
Thanks, Chris. That's good. Now, this must be one if I want to come in. I'm going to ask just one of you first, and then I'll have you next, Chris. Trevor, when you came, I want you to answer the point about the Irish flag. Is there a role for the Irish flag in some kind of formal way or another?
Yeah, Chris? Well, I already answered what I said earlier. You're making the 1998 agreement, consent principle, Northern Ireland makes part of the United Kingdom, and that's the constitutional question. There's an ability to change it under the consent principle, and there's an ability for it to stay where it is. And all the polls are showing that the vast majority of people here want it to stay where it is, and that is the way it is. But what you're talking about worries me more, which is you're talking about a divided up Northern Ireland. And that really does concern me, because that does not heed the damage that we have done to each other as a society. You're talking about a shared out future. One looks after one, another looks after the other, and this balkanisation of the place. And what sort of future is that handing to our children? How will that remain peaceful and stable? Now, if I can just deal also with some of the other points, Anne's point on the sort of fourth, politicians need critical friends. I mean, with some of these issues, like the flags issue, can be debated in a way that there's no political fallout for any of the parties, and they can take that debate and then shape it accordingly politically. And so, at every time and every village that we're in, also needs something similar. But the civic forum needs to be reset up in some shape or form. In relation to the play park,
they're
perpetuating the hatreds in our children, and that has been one of the mistakes we've made since 1998. And we should be calling things wrong, whether it be Soldiers and Bloody Sunday, whether it be King's Mill, or whether it be some of the lawless atrocities like Miami Show Band or whatever. Those things need to be wrong. How did it go down if we call the play park after the Shank Bushes, for example? And those are not the people we want to celebrate. And I appreciate the difficulties that is with it. And it causes a lot of difficulties, but we have to try and find a way of not perpetuating neighbours and their children.
Okay.
And politics needs to do more.
Okay, now, if you want to say something about very, very briefly about
yes. those. I think it's important to define what shared education actually is. To my mind, shared education is not pumping more money into one of five sectors, which is what the Alliance Party seems to believe, at least. We believe the time has come. We believe that shared education system is one in which all children are educated together. Now, there are differences in our society, but we believe that through one education system, those differences, say for example through separate arrangements for assembly, if parents wanted that, that could be accommodated within one education sector. People have a right to educate their children in a faith school. My wife, her parents educated her in a faith school, but the point is, they paid for it.
Okay.
If people want faith education, they have a right to it. But what they don't have a right to is to expect the state to continue to fund apartheid in the education system, which is exactly what we have now. And until we start educating our children together, there is absolutely no prospect of dealing with the divisions that exist within our society. Pumping more money into one of five educational sectors is a sticking plaster solution.
I'll take the next round of questions. Of course, I want to bring the two Marilyn and Pania next. And I haven't spoken yet, right? There's a forest of hands. I'm also going to slightly be biased in favour of women questioners.
I want to thank the women on the panel. My name is Barbara. I'm a student at Trinity College Dublin at Belfast. I want to especially thank Claire and Rebecca. It's not easy to sit up there among the lads. And I want to say, we also talk about equity and inclusion and sharing and mutual respect. This is not a picture of the shared future that I'd like to see. So I'd like to challenge all of you to think about yourselves as collective leaders, and how is it that we're going to get ourselves out of the mess that we've all collectively gotten ourselves into? Take responsibility for a shared future. And to me, that means sharing the responsibility and the credit and the fault where it belongs with the women and the women partners that you have here in Northern Ireland. And there aren't enough of you up there, and there aren't enough of you in the room. So I'd like to challenge those of you, in terms of your parties, how do we get more women engaged in this conversation? They're there, you're not letting them lead, and they're not sitting with you tonight in record numbers or equal numbers. So how do we collectively get ourselves out of this mess and move forward to a shared future?
I should say, Barbara, that in fairness, Chris kindly stepped in some of our lines, so actually Naomi belongs to speak was not available, but pointed. So Barbara, after you, there's a woman at the back. I want to bring it back as well. Can you name, please?
Hi, I'm a protester, and I'm proud of it. I protest every night for my flag, and you said sitting up there going, equality, equality. You took my equality away when you didn't ask me to vote what I wanted with my flag. Why wasn't a vote put to the people of Ulster, Northern Ireland, Ireland as you call it? We're Great Britain. We have a Union Jack. We are a capital city. Who flies a Union Jack? Why did you take it down? Alliance, SDLP, don't know who you voted for, Sinn Féin, you all voted to take it down. Why did you not ask the people?
Okay.
And I, by the way, I'm here to stay. I'm not going away.
John Gray.
Well, I just point out straight off, the flag is still flying. It's the only flag that is flying over the City Hall
except instead of excessive flag flying, we now have measured flag flying. That's all that's changed, but that the question I wanted to ask is, how are we going to get down off the top of the hill that we have got on? And I'm thinking very specifically of the hill at the top of which I live, Glandore Avenue in North Belfast, where the latest manifestation of the flag protest was on Saturday, when a cross-community football match of very considerable North Belfast significance, where Cliftonville and Crusaders, two clubs who have dealt with sectarian problems, have overcome that their match was prevented by Union Jack protesters who seem to have picked the pitch as an opportunity for exacerbating sectarian tensions. Now, there was no further disturbance, but I would note that in just the same responsible fashion, the DUP and the Unionist Party helped stir up the tensions over this, leading to attacks on the Alliance Party, etc. I do note that yesterday, all that the DUP had to say on that incident was to criticise the police for trying to remove the flag protesters.
Okay, there's one more here, and then we'll stop for this round.
Thank you. My name is Philip Brennan, student here in Belfast. Before I ask my question, can I just challenge the Labour Party representative? You create a picture that young people in Northern Ireland have no hope, no opportunity. I'd like to challenge that. For a party to even stand here, I think it's a bit rich coming from you. In terms of my question, can I ask, I work in East Belfast, and I personally know Chris Setup, just why Chris, your party, if their policy is designated days, why you haven't brought that before a unionist majority comes up, if you've had it for such a long period of time?
Right, okay, I'm going to stop there for a moment. There's a range of questions there, and Chris, do you want to respond to John? Chris, you'll respond to that one.
My understanding of what happened on Saturday is that there have been issues in that locality, even there, even though there have been issues in that locality of different Bill supporters coming via sort of majority unionist neighbourhoods. Get to use the term majority unionist neighbourhood, but that's it, that's what it is. And sort of championing sectarian slogans and making a general nuisance of themselves. The DUP representatives who were on the ground there were there because they'd been asked to be there by the local residents to observe what was happening after this football match, or during on the way to it, and the people coming from it. Then into that mix, which was already obviously quite tense, people decided that they were going to have a white line flag protest. Now, DUP representatives in that area worked on the ground with the police to try and make sure that the event, both events, in terms of people going to and from the football match and the protest, passed off.
What is your relationship?
Unfortunately, that did not happen because of the situation. It was obviously just, there were different reasons why that did not happen. But I want to be very clear with you. The idea that the DUP councillors who represent that area, my colleagues, Guy Spence and William Patterson, the idea that they were there in some way to foment the situation is completely untrue.
Okay, thanks. That's just your note. But Chris and then Claire, if this panel was all female and if we're discussing flags, would it make any difference?
Well, I think certainly women, younger people, other minorities are definitely underrepresented in politics. And, you know, it's something I've come to feel that we do need to enact quotas, and it wasn't something I've always believed in. And it's not an exact parallel, but we did in policing, where we had a massive underrepresentation. I think in all the projections, it will take us about 160 years to achieve equality in our assembly. And the bottom line is that evidence is clear from across the world where there are more women, legislation is more progressive. And I don't just mean on women's issues, but I mean on everything, education, health, there is more spending. And I think it's quite clear that we need more women, and we need more representation in politics. We do have tough guy politics, you know, whatever, whether it's out square bashing and memorialising
you know, terrific paramilitaries on either side, or that, you know, we have a culture of political violence and an acceptance of violence for political reasons in this society, and I do think that kind of feeds off a lot of things. But I'm not saying that women bring an entirely separate set, and I think it would be patronising to assume that women won't have views on things like flags, as they clearly do, but definitely we need to reflect diversity in all of our legislatures and councils. On the flag issue, there was a public consultation, and I understand, similar to the spotlight poll that took the results came out a couple of weeks ago, designated days is the viewed as the appropriate compromise by most people, and I understand that there weren't that many responses to the public consultation. There were a couple of public meetings that were very poorly attended. We can't have a referendum or a plebiscite on absolutely every issue, but I do think that it links back to things like the Civic Forum. The more that we can involve a wider range of voices, we're more likely to get a consensus view. Just briefly on the CV thing, it's just profoundly depressing on Saturday that it just took that such a negative turn, and I mean, I'm not a sports fan in particular, I haven't followed it, but I understand that there was a lot of hard work, and I think there's very strong leadership from Mark Langhammer, who I thought spoke really well in the media on Saturday afternoon. And I just, I think tactically, and if you look at the social media, which I've become a little bit obsessed with after some of these things, because it does give you a sense of what a wider section of people are saying, and maybe views that you wouldn't necessarily hear in your own social circle. But I do think that even among a lot of the kind of flag protesters, people were a bit disturbed by what happened at Seaview, and a lot of people thought that it did take it into a realm that it shouldn't have been in.
Okay, thanks, Sam. Chris, there's a particular point of view.
I'd like to come back with a couple of them really quickly. Robin, it might be worth noting that mostly women in my political party were drunk of the death threats and the attacks on their workplaces and homes in order to stand up with courage and integrity for a shared future policy, and I'm proud of every single one of them, including my deputy leader, Naomi Long, MP. The North Belfast issue, really quickly, I want to make sure we give our huge recognition and support for the cross-community work of the two clubs involved, some of the elected representatives, most of them in advance, I understand, residents and the police, to try and ensure that was a fantastic game of football. There's no cause whatsoever served by protesting or disrupting a cross-community sporting event, and that needs to be made clear. In terms of designated days, it's been a long-standing policy of the Alliance Party. We've worked in councils and institutions across Northern Ireland to reach consensus agreement around these issues, around other memorabilia issues. And when we were required to stand up for our position in relation to this issue, unlike other parties, we did.